One of the arguments in favor of free will that we saw in the Svarim is that it wouldn't make sense for Hashem to create the world if we were just automatons. What possible purpose can there be in creating such a world? If we have freedom, so then we could perhaps understand the purpose. This, of course, raises a very important question, which is, can we make such a statement? To make such a statement would seem to presume that we know, or at least have some inkling, as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, such that we could say, well, if this is the purpose for Hashem's creating the world, then it would make sense such and such. So the question I want to consider with you, at least for the beginning part of today's shiur, is, do we actually know why Hashem created the world? And if we do know, then why is it? And I think we'll find a very fascinating thing when we look at some of the Makoros. If you take a look on your Makoro sheets on page 4, you'll see a quote from the Sefer HaTamid. It's on the left column, maybe two-thirds of the way down from the Sefer HaTamid. The Sefer HaTamid, by the way, was written by Rabbeinu Reuven Rab Chaim, who was the teacher of the Meiri. So what does he write? Zos HaChakira, this question, why Hashem created the world, Nifles Me'od, V'lo Nimtza Sheyatir Kshareha, Ach Sheyomru Kach Gazra Chachmaso, Ve'al Ze Anu Omrim B'Muflamimcha Al Tidrosh. So basically, what's he saying? He's saying that we don't understand the reason. We can't understand the reason. It's beyond us. And it's not simply that we can't understand it because God is infinite and we are finite and we're limited and the like, which is obviously true. But there's a more basic problem, which is that we could only relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the context of our existence, within the context of our universe. We can't relate to him outside of the context of our universe. And to ask why he created the world is essentially to try to relate to him in that context. And in fact, this might be the pshat in the Mishnah in Meseches Chagiga. Kol HaMistakel, right, the next source you have over here. Kol HaMistakel Ba'arba Dvarim. Ra'ui lo, ki'ilu lo bali olam. What does that mean? That there are four things that you can't look at. Right? It's very strong lashon. It's as if it would be better had you not come, been created. And what are they? Ma'ala mala, ma'ala mata, ma'alefnim v'ma'ala achor. So what does ma'alefnim mean? So presumably that means what was before the creation of the world. And one understanding of that is exactly this point. It's trying to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the perspective of prior to the creation of the world. So not only, perhaps, can't we understand it, but it might also be us or two to try to understand it. So if that's true, maybe we should go on. Now, it's not just the Sefer HaTamid that says this, but the Mor Nevuchim also says the same thing. If you look, I don't know why, but I don't think I put it here. The Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam writes like this. This is in Chelek Beis, Perek Chaf Hei. He writes, the answer to all these questions, these are questions, we might have even seen this passage, I don't remember if we did earlier in the semester, but questions of why did Hashem create the world this way and not that way, is, he willed it so, his wisdom decided so. Just as he created the world according to his will, at a certain time, in a certain form, and we do not understand why his will or his wisdom decided upon that peculiar form and upon that peculiar time. So too, we do not know why his will or wisdom determined any of the things mentioned in the preceding questions. Meaning to say, again, we can't possibly understand why Hashem kach gazra, kach maso. And again, that's because we're trying to relate to him. Okay, we can never really understand Hashem, but within our universe, post-creation as it were, we could try our best. We could look at the way in which he relates to us and see, well, I see from this such and such, I see from that such and such. But when we try to go beyond that, so we can't know, and the only answer we could give the Rambam says is Kach Gazra Chachamaso. In fact, the Rambam also writes, this is something I know we did say, we mentioned in the first semester when we talked about Bechiras Yisrael, that the Rambam holds that there was no single species for which the world was created. We noted at the time that the Rambam seems to have been chozer from what he said in the Pirshei Mishnayos. In the Pirshei Mishnayos, and this we read in the first semester, so we're not going to go over it again today, but we read that the Rambam writes that presumably the world was created for a man. And here he says no. From the fact that it says Kitov by each of the creations, that means that there's an inherent goodness in them. The purpose, there's an inherent reason why each of them, for each species about which it says Kitov, was created. And therefore we can't even claim to know that the world was created for people. That is what the Rambam writes. So the Rambam tells us, like the Sefer HaTamid, perhaps like the simple reading of the Gemara and Chagiga, that we can't know, we can't claim to know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. There's a very fascinating piece on this from the Rav in Halachic Man. The Rav writes, where my notes went. The Rav writes that the Rav Chaim once went with Rav Simcha Zelig to visit someone, and while they were waiting to see him, so there were some Chabad Svarim on the table. This was in someone's house in Vilna. So the Rav writes that while they were waiting for their host to show up, the Rav Chaim started looking at some of the books which discussed the question of God's motivation for creating the world. And these Svarim cited two opinions. One is that God created the world for the sake of his goodness, and the second was he created the world for the sake of his grace. And the Rav writes in Halachic Man, Rav Chaim turned to Rav Simcha Zelig and with utter seriousness told him, both views are incorrect. The world was created neither for the sake of his goodness nor for the sake of his grace, but for the sake of his will. So this is the view that we've seen in the Mor Nevuchim and others from Kach Gazra Chachmasa. And we can't try to understand. But I guess as Rav Chaim also did note, that the Svarim do give reasons. And probably the most famous reason is in the Ramchal. The Ramchal is coming from earlier sources, but he articulates it in many places. One place you have over here, on page 4, which is from the beginning of Mesil Yesharim, where he writes, "V'hinei ma shehalunu chachamenu zechronim levracha, she'adam lo nivra elalis aneg al Hashem, v'lehanos miziv shechinaso, shezeu atainug ha'amiti, v'ha'idun ha'gadol mikol ha'idunim she'icholun limatze. U'mokum ha'idun hazeh be'emes, hu ha'olam haba, Kihu hanivra behachana mitzdareches l'davar hazeh. Ach, haderech kidei lagia el mechoz chefteinu zeh, hu zeh ha'olam, v'hu ma she'amru zechonim levracha, ha'olam hazeh doma l'prozdor, mipnei ha'olam haba." So first of all, note that the Ramchal writes that we know this from a tradition. This is ma she'harunu chachamenu zechonim levracha. And the reason for the creation of the world is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be Meitiv. Now, here at the beginning of Mesil Sisham, the Ramchal doesn't elaborate upon the motivation, but elsewhere in a number of places, the Ramchal explains very simply that from this could almost be demonstrated logically. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lacks nothing. So what purpose could there be in creating the world? It's not because he needed something out of the world, right? When I make something, So it's because I have some purpose for it. I'm unable to do something, and I make something so as to be mashlim the chisaron, to help me in some way. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu lacks nothing. So you can't possibly say that he created the world because he would in some way get something out of it in the normal sense of the term. So it must be that the act of creation was the ultimate altruistic act. It was in order to give. Right? In a certain sense, we are saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu lacked something. That for him to be able to be mative, there needed to be something else, namely the world. And the way to be mative in the greatest possible way is to give something to people that they've earned, that they worked for, not simply nama de kisufa. And that is why Hashem created not just Olam Haba, which is the ultimate makom where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mative, but Olam Hazeh as well, so that way we can work for it, earn it. And again, from that perspective, it's clear why Bechira would play a central role, as we noted before. Some of the Svarim point to the Pasuk Ki Amarti Olam Chesed Yibaneh, as referring to this idea that the creation of the world is the ultimate act of Chesed. Not necessarily the simple reading of the Pasuk, but that is the way some of the Mefarshim explain it. Yes?
Are we assuming that the question of the creation of the world and the creation of man are the same?
For our purposes, yes. We noted before, can you assume that the world was created from man? And the Rambam initially thought yes. That's the classical assumption in most Sfarim. The Rambam seems to have changed his mind later in his life. But the Ramchal, and again, most Sfarim assume that the answer is yes. And again, for the reasons that we said. Because the other creations, both above man and below man, as we discussed last time, don't have Bechira. A third, yes?
Yeah, I'm not clear as to how it follows that we must have Bechira for Hashem to be made.
So the way the Ramchal says it is very simple. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give somebody something that they don't deserve, that's not something that they particularly appreciate or enjoy. It's not an act of goodness. Adam rotze b'kav shelo yoser mitisha kavin shel chavero, or what Sfarim call nama de kisufa. So the ultimate gift is to give something that they've worked for. So you needed to create a world in which people could be bocher batov, but have the option to do otherwise, and in that sense deserve to be rewarded, and accordingly that would require Bechira. As I said, it's not just the Ramchal, there are earlier sources that say this idea as well, but he's perhaps a thinker that articulates it most extensively. The third approach, perhaps at least initially the most difficult of the three, could be found in Ramban. And really, as Ramban notes on many, many psukim that seem to indicate that, and actually I wanted to talk about this today because it relates very much to our parsha. So take a look at the Ramban. This is page 5, left column, going on to the right column. This is from the Ramban, the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. Though, again, he says the same idea in a number of places. The Kavanas kol ha-mitzvos shenamin belokeinu v'node elav shehu bira'anu. The purpose of all mitzvos is so that we believe in God and we acknowledge that He created us. V'hi kavanas ha-yitzira. This is the purpose of all of creation. She'en lanu tam acher b'yitzira ha-rishona. We don't find any other reason for the initial creation. Ve'en kel elyon chafetz betachtonim milvad sheyeda adam v'yodel elokav shebra'o. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires that the inhabitants of the lower world know of his existence and acknowledge it. The kavanas romim osakol betfilos, the kavanas batek nesios, the schos tfilos rabim. This is why we daven out loud, and why we have batei knesios, and zchus tefilas rabim, meaning to say the Ramban is bothered by the fact, what is the notion of tefillah b'tzibur? Tefillah b'tzibur seems to actually be quite antithetical to what tefillah is supposed to be. Tefillah is a personal encounter with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's an intimate conversation. So why would you get together in a shul with lots of other people and daven? And for that matter, why would anyone ever daven out loud as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't hear us? And the answer, the Ramban says, is very simple. The answer is that we have an obligation to declare our belief in His existence and His providence, to publicize that, not to just keep it to ourselves. And that's what we do in a shul, in a Beis HaKnesses. We don't just daven by ourselves, but we get together, we say out loud, Yesh Mei Rabba Mevorach, we publicly acknowledge His having created us and our obligation to serve Him and His greatness, etc., etc. Right? That's why we do it. And not only that, but because that serves such an important role, the Ramban says that's why there's the zechus of Tfilas Rabim. Tfilas Rabim is never rejected, because when we get together and we publicize our belief in God's existence and providence and the like in such a way, so we're very much fulfilling the purpose of all of creation. Zehu she'yia livne adam makom yiskabtzu v'yodu l'kel shebra'am v'imtziyam v'yifarsim uzeh. So that's why we have shuls. So we get together and we declare our belief, we publicize it, we don't just keep it to ourselves. Again, we should do that all the time. We should always be proud of what we believe in and eager to publicize that belief and in a confident way. But shuls are especially designed for that purpose. V'yomru lefanav, we all get together in shul and we say before Him, B'riosecha anachnu. We are your brios. That is the primary inyan of tefillah b'tzibur, says the Ramban. And proof for this idea could be found in a number of psukim that the Ramban quotes. One of them is Kol hanikra v'shmi v'lechvodi b'rasiv yitzartiv af asisiv. It's a pasuk from Yeshayahu, right? Everyone is called by name, and I created, what does it say? L'chvodi b'rasiv. I created, Hashem says, everything, created people, for my own glory. Yitzartiv af asisiv. Right? So at least the way the Radak, the Malbim, understand that pasuk, is that it's highlighting the principle that we've just said. Likewise, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Kol ma shebara kadosh baruch hu be'olamo, lo b'ra'o ela l'chvodo. Shenemar, kol anikra v'shmi l'chvodi v'rasiv yitzartiv af asisiv. The Omer, Hashem yimloch li'olam va'ed. I think a further place where you see this is in the psukim in Yechezkel, and really many psukim again in Tanakh, but take a look at these psukim in Yechezkel. We're at top of page 6, top left, top right, I mean to say. So here it's describing the Chilul Hashem that takes place when we're in Galus. V'achmol al shem kachi asher chileluhu beis Yisrael b'agayim asher ba'u shama l'chein emor leveis Yisrael ko amar Hashem Elokim lo l'manchem ani oseh beis Yisrael ki im l'shem kachi asher chilaltem b'agayim asher basem shama. So Hashem is going to redeem us, not for us, not because we deserve it, but because of me, because of the chilul Hashem that has taken place when we, God's people, have been exiled and are disgraced. V'kidashti Hashmi agadol amchulal b'goyim asher chilaltem b'socham v'yadu agoyim ki ani Hashem ne'um Hashem Elokim b'kidashi b'chem le'ineichem. So when Hashem does redeem us, that name of His, which has been Nischalel, will now be Niskadesh.
V'lakachti yaschem en agoyim v'kibatzti yaschem mikol haratzos v'veisi yaschem el admaschem.
So there'll be an ingathering of God of the exiles. V'zarakti aleichem ma'im torim u'ta'atam mikol tumosichem u'mikol giluleichem ataharaschem. Right? Likewise, Moshe Rabbeinu argues, when Hashem says that the Jewish people should be destroyed after the Chet HaEgel, after the Chet of the Meraglim, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say to justify that they shouldn't be destroyed? Right? Mayom Ragayim. What will the Gayim say? Right? So, the pashtus in that argument is that if you destroy the Jews, what will be? Achil Hashem. Right? It'll be Achil Hashem. So therefore, you shouldn't destroy them. Why? Because your whole purpose in creation will be undermined because people will say, Mibilti Yecholas Hashem, Lo Tzias Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim. Right? Why did you destroy them? Because you aren't powerful enough to take on the gods of Canaan, and therefore you destroyed them in the Midbar. People won't realize that the Jewish people were destroyed because of their sins. People will attribute it to God's inability to bring them to the land of Canaan, and therefore, on account of that Chilul Hashem, the Jewish people were destroyed in the Midbar. Now, that argument makes a lot of sense based off of the idea we've been saying. If Kol HaNivra L'Chvodi Nivra, and we were created to bring kavod to Hashem's name, to be miskadei shem shamayim, so that chilul Hashem would undermine the purpose of creation, and therefore, even though Sukkim seemed to be saying that really the Jewish people should have been destroyed, but leman shemo, he saved them. The Ramban points out as well, again, left, right column, page 6, that this is the pashtus of the reason for the geula, the ultimate geula, lasad lavo b'mer v'yameinu, in Parshas Hazinu, just like we saw stressed in the book of Yechezkel. What does the Ramban write? Galusenu bein ha'amim, this is from Advarim Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chaf Vav, Anachnu Yehudu v'nyamin she'en zecher ba'amim v'lo nechshav la'am v'um aklal. Right now, maybe this isn't true anymore, but right now we are not recognized as a people, as a nation. We're nothing. We're a tiny percentage of the world's population, not powerful, not important. V'hinei yomar akasav ki'ayah b'midas adin li'osenu ken b'galos li'olam. The pasuk implies that we should have remained in Galus forever. Lule kas oyev. The pasuk in Hazinu says we're not for the anger of the enemy, meaning to say the chilul Hashem that would be involved, because the enemies of the Jews would ascribe the destruction of the Jews to their own greatness and their own power, and that would have been even a greater chilul Hashem. V'yorezeh ki begalosenu ata tamas chos avos. That's a thing we could talk about another time. In our galus, there is no longer any zchus avos ve'en lanu hatzalim yad ha'amim rak bavur shemo. So why will we be redeemed? It's not on account of our merit, because we lack the merit to warrant redemption, but rather it's because of what? Bavur shemo agadol. That's what the pasuk says in Hazinu, and the psukim in Yechezkel stress, as we just read, quotes different psukim, but to the same idea. The lechach, I'm skipping a little, hizkir Moshe b'tfilaso, v'amru agoyim, asher shimu eshimacha lemor, also the psukim we said, mibilti koach Hashem, and the like. Aval Hashem bara ha'adam b'tachtonim, shiakiris boro v'yode'eh lishmo. So why is it that Hashem is going to redeem us? Why is it that He couldn't destroy us? Because, like we saw before, Hashem created the world so that the tachtonim, the creations that live in this lower world, human beings, recognize Hashem. V'sham harishus biyado la'ra'u le'tev, like we've been saying in terms of bechira, right? Meaning to say that in this approach of the Ramban as well, there needs to be bechira for the purpose of creation to be achieved. What do I mean to say? Because there's no chap in creatures that are created without bechira recognizing God. That's not valuable. It doesn't say anything because they don't have bechira. The goal is accomplished when creatures that have bechira, like the Ramban says over here, that biadam la'arau leitev, that have bechira, recognize Hashem. V'chasher chatu bertzonam v'kafru bokulam lo nishara ka'am hazeh. So what happened? The only people that are left who really serve Hashem is Klal Yisrael, who serve Hashem l'shmo. U'pir sim b'hem ba'osos u'mov sim ki hu alokei alokim v'adunei adunim v'noda b'zeh l'chol ha'amim. And Hashem made known to the whole world through Yetzias Mitzrayim and all of Jewish history that He is He is the all-powerful God through the way in which He interacted with Klal Yisrael. V'hineim yashuv yovad zechram. And if the Jewish people were to be destroyed, yishkichu ha'amim es ososav, v'es ma'asav, v'lo yisupar od b'hem. The world will forget about God and His actions and His existence. V'im adam yizacher kein yechashvu ki hayakoch mikochos ha'mazalos v'kochavim v'chalaf v'avar. It's not God, it's nature, it's a mazel. V'hinei tiyah kavanas abriya ba'adam b'telel gamrei. The whole purpose of creation will be undermined. Shelo yishar b'hem yodea es bor'o rak mach is lefanav. There'll be no people who truly are recognize God. V'alken ro'im medin haratzon shehaya b'briyas ha'olam. And therefore, due to the initial ratzon for the creation of the world, right? We talked about last week how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chepetz v'ratzon is seen in creation. So due to that initial ratzon, sheyia ratzon melofanav lahakim lo am kol hayamim ki hem hakrovim elav v'hayodim oso mikol ha'amim. So we have a couple of things we need to figure out. First of all, are these three irreconcilable mahalchim in terms of the purpose of creation? Again, mahalich number one, Ritzono Yisborach, Kach Gazo Chachmaso, we can't understand. Mahalich number two, in order to be mativ. Mahalich number three, in order to bring glory to God. Are these three distinct opinions, or are they in some way reconcilable? Another issue I think we need to figure out is, how do we understand this third mahalich? If understood superficially, it's very troubling. Kadosh Baruch Hu is this, egocentric person, Rachman al-Atslan, who needs us to glorify Him, to find fulfillment. Lo yitachin. So what are these makoros telling us when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for His kavod? So first of all, I don't think there's necessarily a fundamental disagreement between these mahalchim. I think that everybody would agree to the first perspective, which is that we can't really understand. We can't, as we've seen in many makoros throughout the year, we can't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. We can't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu outside of the creation of the universe. However you want to put it, the Rambam puts it one way, the Mekubalim put it a different way, you can't relate to the Ein Sof, whatever it is. But that fundamental idea is Pashut. It's Pashut that we can't really understand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective why He would have created the world, because we can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nobody disagrees with that. Nobody who gives reasons for the creation of the world is really claiming that those reasons are the ultimate reason, the true reason. Everybody, I believe, and if you look at these Sfarim, the Sfarim that give reasons, whether it's the Ramban or the Ramchal, you'll see that elsewhere they make this very same point, which is that what the reasons that we do give are trying to offer something that we can relate to, and that there's value to trying to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in a certain sense falsely, because that gives us a makom for avoda. As we talked about at the beginning of the year, there's a mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem. And even though we all understand that we can't possibly fully understand him, we can't understand his essence, we can't know him, but there's still value in understanding what we can understand. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megala certain things to us so that we can relate to him, and that there's value in doing so. But even as we do that, we have to understand at the same time that we can't fully understand. That's the Omek and Dibra Torah Kalashim Ne'adam, meaning to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us and communicates to us in ways that we could understand. He, as it were, speaks of himself in human terms, and that serves a very important purpose. But we do have to ultimately understand that that's not the whole thing, that's not the whole picture. The ultimate truth is something we can't understand and we can't relate to. And therefore I believe that everybody does agree fundamentally to the first approach. But what they're saying is that even so, like the Ramchal says, Mashehu Runus Chachamenu Zechmanum Levracha, even though, of course, it's true, we can't really understand Malifnim, we can't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu prior to creation, even those terms prior to creation are imprecise, because it's referring to God in terms of time, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is outside of time, and he created time with creation. We can't even say the words, but Kaviyacho, we can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu before creation. Masha Runu Chachamenu Zechonam Levracha. The Ramchal says, but Chazal did tell us something that we can understand, and that's important for us to understand. And Ramchal thinks it's so important for us to understand that Yisod that it serves as the beginning of Mesil Sisharim, because understanding that helps us appreciate Chovas Adam Be'olamo and can serve as the basis for an Avodas Hashem. But we shouldn't think when we read that Hakdama to the Mesil Sisharim that we're really understanding everything, that this is the ultimate truth or the purpose of creation from God's perspective. And certainly the same thing is true with respect to what the Ramban says. So that's purpose, that's point number one. And Ramchal, just to highlight, always stresses this point. For example, the Ramchal writes in Das Tfunos, Ma shenuchal lahasig b'inyan zehu, ki akel yisbarach shemo, hu tachlis hatov vaday. Right, when in Das Tfunos the Ramchal is presenting this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating the world because he's a mative, so how does he preface it as? Ma shenuchal lahasig b'inyan zehu. This is what we're able to understand of this inyan is the following. He's not saying this is it. Right? The Ramchal isn't saying this is really the purpose of creation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a native. That's not what the Ramchal is saying if we read it carefully. He's saying, Mashinucha lahasiv binyan azehu ki akel yisbarach shemo hu tachlis atov vaday, and that's why he created the world. That's what we could understand of it. Right? If there's some aspect to Bria Sa'olam that we could relate to in terms of purpose, it's that notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mative. And that's something that's important to understand for us, among other things, because it's something that we can be tofes and then strive to imitate. We too can become someone who's a mative, to give altruistically, to model HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. But again, he's not claiming that this is it. Okay. So that sort of maybe resolves the first question of approach number one versus two and three. There's no fundamental disagreement. Approach number two and three agrees, I think, with approach number one, that we can't really understand. But still, there's some value in trying to understand what we can. Now, the next question is, what about approach 2 and 3. Are they two totally different mahalchim, or perhaps not? So that's what we'll talk about now, but you have this question first.
Just to clarify what we had said about finding purposes for creation, even though they're not quote-unquote 100% true, like what, meaning we're saying they are true, but not like, meaning the same way that Dibur Torah Kolashim Bnei Adam, and that there are characteristics which are used to describe the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which aren't quote-unquote true because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is infinite and those characteristics are finite, like, is that, are we saying the same things that at least somehow from about the creation of the world?
I think so. Lamashal. Right, the Rambam tells us that a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have emotions. And to have emotions would contradict Achdus Hashem. Now, the pasuk also says, "Rachum lechanu ne'erach apayim rav chesed v'yamas." Right. So, there's value in looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions and seeing in them certain midos, and even attributing those midos to Him. Even as we know, ultimately, those midos do not correctly reflect Him and His essence. Because any form of attributes, positive attributes, and certainly emotions, contradict His oneness. Okay. Now again, too. Again, so we had Mahalich 2, which is he created the world to be mative. Mahalich 3 is so that we human beings recognize His existence. How do those two points relate to each other? So, I think to better appreciate this, what I want to do with you is to consider the purpose of mitzvos. And I think from understanding the purpose of mitzvos, we'll arrive at a better understanding of the purpose of the creation. And as I said, I think we'll do it from the perspective of Parshas HaShavua. So what is the purpose of mitzvahs? Take a look at the Ramban. Dvarim Perek Yud. You have it on the right column of page 6. This is an idea that the Ramban says in many places. Here's one of them. The pasuk over there says, Ma Hashem Shoal Ne'imach. Right, the famous pasuk, Ki'im Li'ra V'chulei. And the pasuk continues, L'tov Lach, right? Ma Hashem Shoal Ne'imach, Ki'im Li'ra Hashem L'chach, L'tov Lach. L'tov Lach means what? For your goods. The Ramban says, Nimshach El L'tov Lach. Yomar, einenu shoel me'imach davar, shiyel etzarko, elu etzarchecha. The purpose of mitzvos is not for him. This is obvious and intuitive. He doesn't need our mitzvos, because like we said, he lacks nothing. Rather, the purpose of mitzvos are letov lach. All the mitzvos are for what? For us. How so? So the Ramban explains this in many ways, in many different places. Mitzvos are masakenas, they're mashlemas. When he quotes the famous Medrash in Chazal, that lo nitna Torah lo tzarif es abrios, to implant within us midos tovos, to make us spiritually, intellectually more perfect, and able to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But obviously, mitzvos aren't for him, and this idea is articulated powerfully in the pasuk in Iyov, the next source. Im chatasa matif albo v'rabu pshaecha matasa lo. If you've sinned, what do you do to Hashem? If your transgressions are many, what have you done to Him? Im tzadakta matitein lo. And if you're righteous, what have you given Him? O mami yadcha yikach. What can He take from your hand? HaKadosh Baruch Hu lacks nothing. It's obvious that we don't really benefit HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing mitzvos. He doesn't need it. When we do averos, we don't hurt Him. When we do mitzvos, we don't help Him. Pashat. So what's the purpose of the mitzvos? Like the pasuk says, L'tov lach. That's pashat. Very much in keeping with the idea that we saw in the Ramchal before, that the purpose of everything is to be mativ. Right? So the purpose of mitzvos is to be mativ. How are mitzvos a means to be mated? Because they're mashlemas. Pashat. That's the Pashat Pshat. Now take a look at the next source. This is from a Ramban in Parshas Tetzaveh that relates to the building of the Mishkan. Amar Rabbi Avram. Kilot Tesi Osam Me'aretz Mitzrayim Rak Bavur Ki Eshkan Besocham V'zehu Tavdun Es HaLokim Al HaHar HaZeh. Ibn Ezra explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt so that he can dwell among us. And that's why when Hashem initially tells Moshe that he's going to redeem the Egyptian, the Jews from Egypt, he tells them, Tavdun Es HaLokim Al HaHar HaZeh, which was a Hashrash Shechin on Klal Yisrael. And of course, that continues with the building of the Mishkan, which the Ramban explains in our Parsha as a Hemshech of Matan Torah. Rasuli Mikdash, Eshachanti Bisocham, that the purpose of the Mikdash is to allow for Hashras Hashchina in Klal Yisrael. The Yafa Pirish, the Ibn Ezra is correct. Vimkein Yesh Binyan Sod Gadol. Ki Kefi Pshat Hadavar, Hashchina Shore, Hashchina Bisrael, Sorech Hedyot, Elotzorch Gavoa. According to the Pasha Pshat, the Hashras Hashchina in Klal Yisrael is Tzorech Hedyot. What does that mean? It means for our sake. What does it mean, Kefi Pshat HaDavar? That's the Pasha Pshat. Philosophically speaking, it's the only thing we could possibly understand, like we said before. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu lacks nothing, like the Pasuk in Iyov says, in Tzadakta Matitein Lo. So, it's not the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashri shechinaso b'Yisrael for him. Rachmana Litzlan, he doesn't need it. He lacks nothing. L'tov loch. That's the pshat hadavar. Right? That's a simple understanding. We'll see in a moment. Ramban notes, it's not the literal understanding of many, many psukim, but it's the simple understanding, it's the philosophical approach, and it's the only approach that we could really understand. That's the pshat hadavar. But not the Sod HaGadol, right? Avahu, K'inyan Sh'amar Kasav, what's the Sod, which is not the Pshat HaDavar? The Sod is, like the Pasuk says, Yisrael Asher Becha Es Par, Yisrael in whom I am glorified. Right? Havoda Tzorach Gavoa, like the Reb Chaim Volozhiner expands upon at great length in Nefesh HaChaim. Tzorech Gavoa, Yisrael Asher Becha Es Par. I am glorified. I, God, am glorified through Yisrael. V'amar Yoshua, Ma Tasa L'Shem HaGadol. Same types of psukim we saw before in the Ramban. Yoshua says, Ma Tasa L'Shem HaGadol, meaning say what? That the purpose is for Shem HaGadol. Upsukim Rabu Baokein. Many psukim indicate this. Iva l'moshav lo. That's referring to Yerushalayim. The Mikdash HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired a place to dwell. Po eshev ki ivisia. I dwell here because I desired it. V'kasav v'haaretz as kor. So the Ramban writes, really, there are two purposes for mitzvos. One purpose, the pshat hadavar, is L'tov lach. Einenu shoel me'imcha davar sheyeh l'tzarko el l'tzarkecha. Imcha tasa ma'tifobo im tzadakta ma'titein lo. That's the pshat hadavar. But there's also simultaneously true, the Ramban thinks both are true, and he highlights how there are so many psukim that reflect both of these perspectives. What's simultaneously true is also the sod Gadol, which is Yisrael Asher Bechaz Par. The idea that we saw before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what? Leman Shema HaGadol. Now, how does Ramban think both of these are true? So, L'chora, what he's saying is like this. We have to try to contemplate two vantage points. Our perspective and God's perspective. Now let's clarify. When we talk about God's perspective, as we noted before, we're not talking about God's true perspective. God's true perspective is beyond us. But kifi ma she'anochnu yecholom mahasig, to the extent that we could understand God's perspective and our perspective. From our perspective, the purpose, or let's see the other way, to the extent that we can understand God's perspective, the only possible perspective we could understand is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to be meitiv. That the purposes of the mitzvos are l'tov lach. Because after all, but we can't hurt him, we can't help him, he lacks nothing, he's perfect. And therefore, to the extent that we can understand his perspective, it's obvious that the purpose of creation is to be meitiv. That's what the Ramban writes. But our perspective towards him cannot be that way. We can't look at the world as saying, oh, it was created for us. Why do I exist? Some type of a spiritual hedonism that I could get the ultimate good in Olam Haba. No. From our perspective, when we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our perspective is that it's L'man Shim HaGadol, that we're here to glorify his name. Of course, we can't truly give him something because he lacks nothing. But to the extent that we exist, we are here to bring glory to God's name, to say to him publicly, B'yosecha nachnu. We should see our existence as Yisrael asher b'cha espa'ar, that we are the nation that brings glory to God. And therefore, when Hashem wishes to destroy us, we say to him, Ma'atasa l'shimcha gadol. The pshat is that there are different ways in which we perceive God. There are two giluyim, as it were. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megala himself in different ways. One way, which the Ramban calls pshat ha-davar, is that he is there to be meitiv, and that mitzvos are letov lanu. But there's another way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megala himself. And that is this. Now, so what are we saying, to summarize, and then we'll try to take it one step deeper. We're saying that we saw three ways in which the Chachamim relate to the Briyas HaOlam. And they're all true. The ultimate truth is something that we can't perceive, because we can't relate to his essence. We can't relate to him prior to creation. However, kafi ma she'anachnu yecholim lahasig, there are two perspectives. When we try to imagine what God's perspective is, we see it as being meitiv. But our perspective towards him is Yisrael asher b'chas pa'ar. And therefore, when we look for purposes of mitzvos, for example, we see both perspectives. On the one hand, we acknowledge mitzvos are letov lanu, but at the same time, we see his mitzvos as havoda tzorech kavoha, that we can do mitzvos to bring glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we daven b'tzibor and we say b'yosecha anachnu, we are being mekayim the ratzon Hashem in terms of the creation of the world. Oh. Let's take this one step further. I think we could see this perhaps in the comments of the Gra. This is something that the Gra writes in his commentary on the Tefillah. Again, I didn't give this to you. I'm sorry. The Gra writes like this. Tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shehu Tov V'ratza Lehetiv Im Briyosav HaTava Gemura B'derech Shel Schar V'lo B'derech Shel Chesed Chinam. So he begins in language very similar to what we've seen in Ramchal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tov, and therefore wants to be mative and give to us in a way that's derech schar, not nama de kisufa, right? Explaining the pasuk, tov yatzar kavod lishmo. So tov, that midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being mative, yatzar kavod lishmo. Yatzar efsharus shekaviyochol habrios nos nos kavod lishmo. He created the possibility of kaviyochol giving kavod lishmo. Uvischar zos notlim eschelkam bedin. And through that schar, mimela, they're notel chalkam bedin. They're notel, they deserve, they receive their due in din. So what's he saying? What's the pshat in that sentence? We say in the Siddur, tov yatzar kavod lishmo. What does that mean? Tov. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate mative. He's truly tov in every sense. So he's the mative. He wanted to give us the ultimate good, and therefore, yatzar kavod lishmo. He created a hechatimtza to give kavod to his name. And by doing that, by kaviyochol being able to give him, so mimela, he's able to give us in a way that's tov, the ultimate good. The ultimate good. That is both, here we see in one sentence in the tefillah, both perspectives being highlighted. And not only that, but the relationship between them. In order to be able to be mative, we need to work in a way that we deserve what we get. Now you'll ask, well, why did Hashem have to make it that way? Right? Adam Rotze B'Kav Shelo. That we don't appreciate Nama Kisufa. Couldn't he make the universe different? So I think that's Bechlal, not being Shoel Malafnim. In other words, that is the way it is. And you can't ask, why didn't he make it differently? That's what the Rambam was highlighting in Mor Nevuchim. We can't say, ah, I could conceive of a universe that would be better. So Lamaisa, then, to give the ultimate goodness to somebody, right? And this is true in humans as well. If you want to be nice to somebody, you don't give them something that makes them feel bad about receiving. You give in a way that allows them to preserve their dignity, to feel good about themselves, to make them feel like they earned it. If you're going to give your kids an allowance, so you could give it to them in a way that makes it feel like tzedaka. You give them it to in a way that makes them feel like they earned it. Even if it's still stuck, right? So that's tov, and therefore yatzar kavod lishmo. So he created the hechatimtza for us to give him, and that's the pshat in all the statements in Chazal and in the Sfarim that we give nachas ruach to Hashem, avodat tzarach gavoa, poe shev ki visiha, Yisrael chasher b'chas pa'ar, etc., etc. It's not that Rahmana Litzlan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is motivated by glory. That diuk, that marmakum from the Gra, I got from Rabbi Rafi Stoll. Along similar lines, Rav Dessler writes in Michtav Liyahu, the same Yisod, I think. Tachlis habriya, ki gilu ishmok vodu yisborach ba'olam. Zeu ha-chesed ha-gadol bi-yoser sh'anu zochen bo. Shebriyas ha-ester l'man ha-gilui, hi atzma Gilui Gadol Shal Chesed Eloki, right? The creation of the Hester, in order for there to be Gilui, because why is there Hester to allow for Gilui? Right? Why is there evil to allow for good to be seen? That's the whole thesis of the Sefer Das Tfunos in the Ramchal. Obviously, there's a lot more to say in that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mastir Asatzmo Kedei Lehetiv, right? The Bria of the world is a Hester Panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Olam Yilashon Helam, and that's the role of Bechira, as we've seen. Shiyuchal Adam Legalos Al Yedei Kach Giluyim Be'amalo Be'avodas Hashem. Zeh Ha'yisod Shel Olam Chesed Yibane. Right? That's the Chesed. Oh. There's no greater pleasure than discovering something. And there's no greater pleasure than discovering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's only possible in a world in which he's hidden. And we have to find him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master himself so we can find him. And that, in a sense, to the extent that we could understand it, is the purpose of Bria Tzolom. So going back to our initial point then, I think it's very clear why Bechira, according to all the Mahalchim, plays a, I guess, at least according to two, Mahalich 2 and 3, Mahalich 1, we don't have anything about anything, but plays a central role in our existence. And again, I think hopefully this Mahalich also gives us a much better understanding of the whole purpose of the Mishkan and why it exists, both on a level of Pshat and on a level of Sod. Okay. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.